I mean, you see a guy that's bought in, and you know, he's sitting around and he's taking time to sit with his teammates and talk with us and guys like me, and you know, he just looks happy. You know, he's got a smile on his face, and he's just been great, man. He's been a great guy to me, and excited to continue to work with him.
Good afternoon, everybody. Football season is here. We've got practices in Latrobe. No doubt, we'll have fans who double as media who send out videos of practice, which is illegal for people like Jeff Hathorn to do, but is fine with the Steelers can't please everybody. And that'll make our job easier over the next 4 hours. They're on the field now. Aaron Rodgers moving around, looking spry at 41 years old. And you just heard Will Howard there. This is not a Mason Rudolph, Ben Roethlisberger situation. This is not Aaron Rodgers with Brett Favre. He's saying nice things about Aaron Rodgers, and his observation as a very young pro quarterback is that Rodgers is bought in. He is invested. He's not just there to collect a paycheck and have a going away retirement party. Howard believes that Rodgers is ready to go. And it would be one of the coolest final chapters for a player in NFL history if he wins big here this season. I don't think it'll quite be Jerome Bettis in 2005 with the Steelers, or Ray Lewis when he was spraying deer antler spray all over himself to get back on the field and win a Super Bowl with the Ravens. But you get it, Mulsey. I mean, there is the potential for him to go out on top. I think if he puts up Pro Bowl numbers and the Steelers win a playoff game, I think he'll say, yeah, thanks for the memories, Pittsburgh. This is what I set out to do. I'll see you on the flip side when I start a podcast that talks about my conspiracy theories and maybe my thoughts on the Epstein files and things like that.
Oh, wow. Throwing the old ball over to me while I'm being,
I mean, Rodgers is going to talk later today. We'll have the audio. I wouldn't be shocked if he got a question about that. You know he has an opinion on it.
Might get a question about Hulk Hogan's passing.
R.I.P. Hulkster, Hulkamania, which, by the way, 3:30 p.m. team power rankings. Malzi and Donnie Football rank the top five pro wrestlers of all time. It would be very disrespectful to not include Hogan.
No comment.
He died.
No comment as to what my ranking is going to be there. I'm going to wait and let people decide for themselves. Rodgers is in an interesting spot because if he doesn't play well this year, and it is the end for him because he already said it's, you know, almost certainly going to be the end, he just becomes like every other quarterback that tried to play past 40 with one exception, right? Even Hall of Famers, even really good players, Hall of Very Good guys that tried to stretch their careers out.
Do you think he'd sign up for Peyton Manning's final year?
Being bad but winning a Super Bowl?
Yep. I don't think so.
I think your head would explode more than anybody else's in that situation.
I think he's too vain.
Well, I'm trying to envision that scenario where their defense is so overwhelmingly great that they win the Super Bowl with
and carry the
offense.
Carcass of Aaron Rodgers there.
I don't know if you could live with that.
I wouldn't be able to. But then you know what I would say?
It would
I was
be
wrong
the most,
about Mike Tomlin,
it would be
and that
the
would
most,
be his crowning achievement as a coach, and he solidified
I would just pay
his legacy as a great coach.
I don't even think I would come into work that day if that happened, and I would say, Craig, I'm not even
Craig's
turning
in
on
the
my
room
microphone.
Right now. Craig, do you think Aaron Rodgers would sign up for that? Horrible numbers, but he wins a Super Bowl?
Yes.
I don't think he would.
I do think he would, as long as with one caveat here. I think Manning in that run to the Super Bowl, like against the Steelers in the Fitzy Toussaint fumble game.
Yep.
He made a play. He made a throw to Demaryius Thomas on third down. Like, he briefly flashed as like, hey, I can still occasionally dial up a Peyton Manning play.
But he gets made fun of for that season. D'Angelo Williams famously went on Twitter and said,
yes,
Peyton Manning couldn't play dead in a Western. And Mike Tomlin
said,
came out of nowhere and
behind.
Said, yes.
Yes.
It's like the one time Tomlin took a shot at somebody on social media and it was his own player.
I think that Rodgers knows football history, even though he likes to act like he's got 8 million different interests outside the sport. And he knows that being a guy with two Super Bowl rings, no matter how you got the second one, and at least four MVPs, is a class reserved for, at that point, it would be him, Peyton, and Brady. Am I right?
What do you mean?
Minimum four MVP awards.
Oh, yeah.
And at least two Super Bowl rings.
Brady doesn't have four MVPs.
He has three, actually, right?
Yes,
I think he's got three.
Mm-hmm.
So he would put himself in a class only with Manning. At least four MVP awards and two Super Bowls. I think Rodgers would take that. He wouldn't love it, but I still think he would take that. And I'm not gonna fall into what I know you believe here, that he'd rather go out thrown for 4,400 yards, they win one playoff game and lose in the divisional round. I think he'd take, I'm not very good, but I'm good enough to somehow get us there and we win the Super Bowl. And it's a fluky season. I just think that the one advantage I think they'll have with him is I think his arm is a lot livelier than Russell Wilson's was. I do think he's a better quarterback. And I do think to whatever degree this matters, he just didn't want to go out like a chump with the Jets, a joke franchise. And I think he's going to want to be a good soldier here. And I think he's good enough and has enough of a resume that Mike Tomlin, there's a much better chance that he backs off and goes, you know what? You get the wide berth, pal. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, I can't get there yet. I mean, I've just seen Tomlin. I've seen the movie. We start every season like this, where we think, okay, this guy is going to have more privilege or more opportunity because of his resume, or in Kenny's case, where he was drafted. And then it doesn't go that way. Roethlisberger at the end had to play nice with Matt Canada and follow instructions and was only allowed to deviate from that when they were trailing in games and he could do his own thing. So I'm to a point with, as far as that relationship goes, Tomlin with his quarterbacks, I have to see it to believe it before I predict it.
Don't you think, though, if this were like an actor-director relationship, Tomlin might think he's Francis Ford Coppola and treat these guys like that? But like saying that Russell, if we're making an actor comparison, Rodgers is who? Modern day, like De Niro, Pacino,
Hoffman?
No, why am I blanking on the all-time great actor? Daniel Day-Lewis. And Russell Wilson is what? Adam Sandler?
Yeah, but that's true of Wilson, but how about Ben? He had worked with Ben for 18 years, and in the last year, he said, hey, it's actually Matt Canada who's the boss now. Somebody you couldn't get a job here at Bowser if you wanted one.
As bad as that decision was to give Matt Canada so much leeway, I don't think the version of Ben that we saw at that point was so overwhelming that it was like, well, you just be deferential to this
player. I disagree with you on that in this respect. The penultimate season, that's a fancy word for second to last, before his last year, Ben's second to last year was better than Rodgers' second to last year.
Yeah, but you're
Ben went
you're
12
going,
and 4,
you're going
started
strictly
11
on
and
stats, though. The eye test told a different story, and I remember this because you and I agreed that the eye test was telling a different
story
about
that
team.
Well, what's the eye test with Rodgers? The eye test last year was, for the first half of the season, he looked like he was ready for the glue factory, and he figured it out against bad teams
I think Ben, and I have tried to say this numerous times because it's always, oh, you're hating on him. For a guy that was
No,
it's just an honest appraisal of the player, which no one here wants to hear, is honesty from me.
Then why do you do it?
It's a guy who was, because I'm handsomely compensated by our boss Craig for it, it's a guy who was so physically gifted, the arm was great, the legs obviously, the strength, the difficulty to bring him down. And the arm truly lost the sizzle after that surgery, and he never got it back, and there's no shame in that, dude. He had Tommy John, basically.
Right.
The one thing that separates them, eye test wise.
Yes.
Rodgers' arm still has the snap and the
pop. Okay, but people are doing the same thing, and I'm not accusing you of doing this.
Yeah, accuse away.
People are doing the same thing with Rodgers coming back from injury that they did with Ben after that elbow injury. Oh, second year, the arm's going to be so much better. Remember Ryan Burr said it was a bionic arm? And they were afraid that the arm was going to be too strong.
Yes, I'm convinced Ryan Burr was actually trolling, because if he wasn't, it was some of the craziest stuff ever said.
The arm was too strong?
Yes, the diet was too strict. The arm was too strong.
But now I'm hearing Rodgers removed an extra year from Achilles, that he's going to be moving around like he's Lamar Jackson out there.
Different story. That only has to do with the mobility. When we're talking about pure arm talent, okay, he's never been a guy who threw with his lower body. The arm is just a whip unto itself.
I agree with
that. The mobility did make him more special because he could do all this
Chris,
stuff on the run.
I'm not arguing that his arm strength is deteriorating.
I understand
I'm talking
the mobility
about getting
argument.
Out of trouble.
Yes, I know. I'm just talking about fundamentally, I think the arm pop is still there. And I think the one thing that makes
him
vastly different, and I guess is the analog you are trying to get me to with Ben, is that whereas Ben's strong arm ceased to be strong and took away something that fundamentally made him what he is, Rodgers was always very nimble on his feet and could escape pressure and then make insane throws. And I don't think the nimble on his feet part really exists anymore.
But in the game against the Steelers, I've gone back and watched it. He looked like Ben in his last year. And that, can I just get rid of the ball as fast as I can so I don't get hit? And that's one of my, I've not listed, I'm working on a list right now. The things I'm most worried about with Aaron Rodgers in 2025, and I think I might reveal it tomorrow, because it is a list. I also wanted to ask you this. How many of these stories have worked? Give me guys 30-plus who have gone to a different team, like late in their career, quarterbacks, and it's had a happy ending. You've got Peyton Manning.
You actually have to count Manning, even though he didn't like really bring that
Brady
on.
Brady in Tampa.
Favre in Minnesota, I think getting to the NFC title game is a pretty good denouement for him.
How about Kurt Warner in Arizona?
He got to a Super Bowl. You have to include that.
There's four. Who else?
Well, see,
how about Joe Montana in Kansas City? Would you count that?
Beat the Steelers. Wasn't a very happy time for me.
Lost in the AFC Championship game.
I know. I hate it when you do these questions that you've had time to think about.
I actually haven't. I'm just doing this off the top of my head, too. Stafford in L.A.
Was he late 30s or mid? I don't think of him the way I did the other guys.
Early 30s.
I would say he's more,
Who else?
No, I'm thinking about it out loud right now.
We'd asked intern Don, but the extent of his football knowledge goes back to about 2015.
And also, he would just say Caleb Williams, even though it doesn't apply.
That's funny from both of you.
Late 30s is the problem. Yeah, it's a big problem here trying to answer that question.
Would you say Warren Moon in Minnesota?
I thought about, how about Randall Cunningham in Minnesota?
It was 1 year, though.
I know, but they were a Gowie Anderson missed field goal away from being in one of the all-time powerhouse
Super Bowl
matchups.
But then the next year he got replaced by Jeff George.
I understand that, but I'm saying
sure you
he
do.
Still got to the AFC title game, Pony.
The NFC title game, they were...
Whatever, the NFC title game.
Okay, I'll count that.
You have to count that.
I wrote it down. It's on the,
You were very combative about doing so.
I know, because
we
I'm
put
trying
the
to workshop
of,
this.
We put the corpse of Peyton Manning
my
up
My God,
there.
I'm just supposed to rubber stamp everything you say on this show? What fun would that be?
Actually, a lot of fun for me. I like not being challenged. Still smarting over Judge Dom yesterday. Just a miscarriage of justice. Throw the judge out of the chambers. Anyway.
Who else? Bobby Lane with the Steelers, that's for sure.
How long had Rich Gannon been with the Raiders when he had his one huge
That's a
year?
Good one. He was old.
Yeah, he was old and had that MVP
And he had
season.
Played for Minnesota and he had played for Kansas City. That's a good one, Malzie.
I mean,
see, you are smarter than you give yourself credit for.
I mean, just
and our listeners and YouTube viewers for sure.
Just the absolute king of the backhanded right there.
Yeah.
Do you count Philip Rivers dragging the Colts into the playoffs?
I would. Okay, so that's a great one. If Aaron Rodgers has that season in Pittsburgh, if I offered you that season, would you take it?
They lost in their playoff game, though.
Correct.
So no, I don't think I would.
But how about his overall numbers that year with the Colts? I'm sure you have a very quick-moving laptop, and you're looking at the numbers right now.
I'm not, actually. I was looking up Doug Flutie, because that one popped into my head.
He's a weird one, because he was in the CFL before
No, I know.
That. They also lost to Miami in the playoffs.
Okay, just give me a guess what you think Rivers' numbers that year
27 were. Touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
Pretty close. 4,100 yards, 24-11. Man, he had a passer rating of almost 100. I feel like his numbers there, I would take.
24-11 is worse than Aaron Rodgers in New York last year. He threw more interceptions,
I know, but
he had more touchdowns.
To whatever extent wins and losses can at least be somewhat attributed to a quarterback, he went 11-5.
What to expect from him, and that was the biggest thing, is when he came in, he said, give me a clean slate, get to know me for me, and I wanted to do that. You know, I didn't want to come in with any expectations of who he was. And just in getting to know him, he's such a down-to-earth, good guy. You know, he likes to joke around and have fun and mess with the younger guys, but also you could just tell that, you know, it's pure, and he loves the game, and he wants to be here because he loves football, and he wants to you know, end his career the right way, and I love it.
Just incredible. Will Howard's an awesome speaker. He's got a future in media. He'll always have a home in Columbus. We'll see if he can develop one here in Pittsburgh. And he is saying things about Aaron Rodgers that we never heard Mason Rudolph say about Ben Roethlisberger, because that relationship was non-existent. Also, different set of circumstances, though. Ben thought he had numerous years left, and he was right. Aaron Rodgers is coming here for his swan song. We will get a report on how Aaron Rodgers looked, also how Will Howard looked in his first practice with the Steelers later on today when Ray Fittipaldo joins us. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Official word on former Steelers quarterback Justin Fields just coming down from the Jets. After medical evaluation, Fields sustained a dislocated toe in his right foot and will be day to day. This is from the Jets officially. Fields avoided serious injury in significant missed time.
I'm amazed at the sheer number of people. So Schefter's real account, verified blue check, put out that he had been carted off. True.
Mm-hmm.
I am amazed at the number of people who got fooled by like Adam Scheffler. And
Scotty's brother.
Well, it wasn't even that, though. He didn't even spell it quite like that. And people just, Scheffler says that he tore his Achilles. And I just saw it. You see no
Bechtold
blue check.
Fell for that on the air.
I've seen multiple
It's a torn Achilles.
I saw
Becky,
multiple people
we need to talk about
it.
This. There's a torn Achilles with Justin Fields. Oh, my God.
Come on, Bechtold. That's producing 101. Check for the blue check mark.
And good thing the Steelers didn't bring him back. Good thing we can still hold out hopes for Drew Aller. Oh, my God.
Would have been a real whiff if they had gone any further with Justin Fields. And speaking of whiffs, have I talked to you about my wiffle ball team?
Oh, man.
Craig is in here with us, Pony, as you said, at Studio B briefly, just stopping by our
beautiful
boss.
Studio B, Bowser.
It is
Chevy.
Awesome.
Mineral
and we're through the looking glass. Like, I have the YouTube page fired up because I like to see what people are saying on there, and they can see me on the YouTube video looking at YouTube on my laptop. So it's like three levels of this. It's meta. And I just wanted to read this from Nate in the YouTube chat. Listening to Craig back in the day when he was producing was what got me interested in sports gambling. Maybe the highest compliment you could ever pay the man. He's fist bumping over there in the corner. Look at him over there. He looks like a proud parent. Little Benny Riley could hit three home runs tonight and it wouldn't matter as much to him. Anyway, Pony.
I disagree with you on that one, though.
Now, I'm just saying that in case Rachel's listening and then she can get really mad at him.
He's like Mr. Marinovich. He's like Marv Marinovich with his son.
Well, if he lets him eat McDonald's, he's a little better than Marv.
The Fields thing, I mean, just to spend a second on that.
Sure.
Before the Jets put out this, calm down message.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I mean, maybe he could miss the Steelers game. We watched it firsthand here last year with Russell Wilson. Teams are going to make it seem, unless it's absolutely catastrophic, and everyone is, can tell that a guy tore his ACL or tore
one dude
Achilles
from the Dolphins,
tendon.
Which seems very scary, getting airlifted to a hospital yesterday.
Right.
Yeah, you're not going to cover that.
They're going to make it seem like it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen the Steelers, not just with Russell Wilson. How about T.J.
Watt's knee? Yeah, you were all over that when that happened.
How about Najee Harris, Liz Frank?
That's not a big deal either.
So
Roman Wilson's originally get kind of poo-pooed? Like,
although
wasn't
the people
be a
that I knew that
deal?
Were there said it looked bad because it was one of those hip drop tackles that they're trying
to
outlaw.
Sure, but to your overall point, like the team, I don't remember yet last year saying like
that's why
this is terrible.
That's why even though I don't have a ton of information on it, you're not going to hear me say everything's all good with Sayamalu on this show. I don't trust them for a second.
I mean, I'm going to admit that your takes on this over the last couple of years and then subsequently the way some of these injuries have played out have turned me from a guy who would have said, it's probably no big deal, to now
they don't get the benefit of the doubt.
Well,
with this stuff.
I turn a critical eye to them and probably every team in the NFL. I think you're right on the money with that one.
We're trying to come up with quarterbacks who had a
renaissance
late
in their
career resurgence
with a different team than the one they had played for. It can't be Brady with the Patriots just continuing to be great.
Somebody texted in Fran Tarkenton when he went back and played for the Vikings, but he had already played there. He went Vikings, Giants, Vikings. My God, we're talking about things that happened more than 45 years ago. Sorry for anybody who, still is getting laid for having heard me say that.
I was going to say Vinny Testaverde with the Jets late in his career in 01. They
Why
went
not?
10
That's
and
not
6.
A bad
That's
one.
Not a, like,
How old was he?
He was 38 that year. The previous season, he had led the NFL in interceptions, but he just kept right on ticking. I think the 2000 season when he was 37, that was the Jumbo Elliott touchdown pass, I think, on Monday Night Football.
He was great that year in 98 when they lost to the Jets. He was 12-1 as a starting quarterback. He had 29 touchdowns, and he played only 13 games.
No. I was saying 2001 when he was 38. Yeah, the 98 season when he came back, he was awesome.
That's the year that they lost to Denver.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, that's a great year.
He had a little bit of a run
Who
in his mid to late 30s. That was just me saying Vinny. Oh. I looked up Vinny Testaverde.
Again, surprised that people shouldn't be surprised that you came up with that on your own, because you're very good at this.
Is there any... I'm walking right through those comments. No. Anyway, I was trying to think of like some
Favre
other.
Did we say Favre?
Favre with the Vikings was an early one. I'm trying to think of like some surprise. Like when the Panthers went to the NFC title game in their second year of existence, was that Berline? for them? Or no, was it a
Collins. That was still Kerry Collins with the Giants? Let's see how old he was when he was like
in, he had to have been in his early 30s there.
He was 20, late 20s.
He was late 20s, that's
a bad one.
Because he was graduating from Penn State in, or came out from Penn State in 94, so that wouldn't have made sense.
Still the last quarterback from Penn State to go in the first round.
That's kind of a wild footnote story.
Right? 95 draft. They haven't had one since. You've got your Michael Robinsons and Daryl Clarks and McSorleys and Cliffords and people like that.
I'm really scuffling here with the concept just because I feel like it should be easier to call to mind some of these players who have done well. Like Jake Delhomme had never been anywhere else when he got red hot with the Panthers, and I don't think he was that old.
Well, he had played with the Saints, I think, before that, but he was never
a guy.
That doesn't count because the whole point is someone who had success and then found more success with another team. You know what I mean? Like Delhomme only played two games with the Saints, and also, by the way, he was in his late 20s too.
Do we count at all like any of the success Alex Smith managed to have in Kansas City? Or is that
why
kind
not?
Of not
how
count?
Old was he?
When he was the number one pick in the 04 draft, and he ended up
he was only 29.
Yeah, so he would have done that as his second act pretty early in his career. It is rare. I mean, it's rare. Did you see this Matt Williamson stat kind of in the same vein? It's not about one player, but they are the only team in, and I think the only other time a team has lost its leading passer, receiver, and rusher from the previous season and had a winning record was the Steelers in a different time. But they are replacing all three of those positions here. Here's the actual tweet. It's from like 2 weeks ago. The Steelers will begin the season without their leading passer, rusher, receiver from the year before. It makes them only the 14th team in the Super Bowl era to even do that. Mm-hmm. Crowley goes, how did the others fare? This is, again, 2 weeks ago. And I think Williamson quote tweeted him. I can't see the quote tweet right with only the Steelers previously having done this had any success. Mm. It's usually not a recipe for being good.
That music means it's time for a Bucko Minute. We are live at Studio B, Bowser Chevy, a week away from the trade deadline. We are juggling multiple balls right now. Steelers practicing. We'll give updates on who's practicing where, who the starters are, things like that. Steve Palazzolo will break down the Steelers roster with us later in the day. Malzi will rank his top five wrestlers of all time with Hulk Hogan passing away earlier this afternoon. But this is time to talk Bucks. And we have a sounder here that, do we still have that, intern Dom? Are you on your P's and Q's today? Do you have that sound effect? Well, that means you're not ready at all. Thank you. I mean, you knew this segment was about the Pirates, so...
When he says, are you on your P's and Q's, the implication there is you anticipated it because you knew this segment.
Yes, I didn't know I had to spell everything out for you like you're 3 years old.
No, I'm not asking you to spell it out. I'm just asking you to give me ample time to prepare sound when I have...
Ample time is there's a nice commercial break where people are learning about the fine individuals who spend money to advertise with our station, and that's when you should have been getting this ready.
Man, I haven't seen Syracuse on Syracuse Crime like this since Paul Harris was playing for that basketball team.
Paul Harris used to cheat in cards.
Yes, that's what I was referring to.
All right, do we have it?
Who's on the move? Another major league trade presented by Globe Airport Parking.
We don't have one yet. Thank you, voice guy. 7 days out from the trade deadline, but we do have reports. We told you about O'Neal Cruz and Noah Hyles' report that O'Neal Cruz is getting trade buzz, that there are phone calls to the Pirates, and they are listening to those calls. That was poo-pooed by Jason Mackey today. I don't know if the poo-pooing meant the calls aren't happening, but there was a little bit of, you said Syracuse on Syracuse crime. How about PG on PG crime? Which I'm all for. We argue and bicker with each other all the time. You rip Crowley. I make fun of Austin. We mock Harry Callis for not knowing where Michael Jordan went to college.
Why they quizzed him this morning, by the way, about Steelers starting like offense.
Yep,
how do you do? He knew every position that they asked him. And then they said running back last one. He goes, Jaylen Warren. Crowley goes, okay, good. You got a perfect score here. They drafted a running back in the third round to go with Jaylen Warren.
Uh-huh.
Who is he? And that wasn't part of the test.
So he cheated beforehand is what that tells you.
100%. He had no idea. Anyway.
Well, he's a scoundrel. I mean, we saw what he did with the U.S. Open thing with NBC. So there seems to be a little bit of a debate there between... A difference of opinion between Hyles and Mackey. I have since learned that the Phillies reached out to the Pirates. They are one of the teams. Heil said numerous calls, several calls from different teams.
He did not isolate it down to he one team in his initial reporting.
And I am naming one, the team on the other side of the Commonwealth. A team that has gotten horrendous center field play from Brandon Marsh, who looks like his beard and hair has never been washed. And they are all in to win. And they probably think O'Neill Cruz hitting between, I don't know, Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber, some legitimate lineup protection, might bring out the best in him.
Also a much more hitter-friendly park. I know PNC's pretty friendly for lefties, and I'm not saying O'Neill Cruz hits many wall-scraping home runs. They're usually missiles that would have gotten out of old Tiger Stadium to dead center.
Yes.
But it's still a more hitter-friendly environment and a much better lineup.
Also,
I still got to just very quickly say, read into the record here. The fact that they are listening on him just does show a clear level of disenchantment internally with him. Like, they can say all they want, hey, we had to bench him, but we still believe in him or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They clearly have a level of tolerance for just the risk involved with trading him and somebody else getting the most out of him, because they got to be sick of him to some degree, or frustrated with him, maybe is the better term, for to some extent.
Also, I'd like to say that I believe that he's aloof enough where the Philadelphia media and fans are not going to get to him.
Here's the, something I've been wondering about the aloof part. How much of that is just he's frustrated here and he'd be more engaged somewhere else and therefore maybe a little bit more like, not touchy with the media at all, but like in tune with what they're saying. Like, sometimes you get the feeling here. Do you ever get the feeling with Cruz that he is doing certain things like he wants to be traded here? Like away from here?
Yes. If I were him, I would. I don't think he took the move to center field well. And I can empathize with him because they did it in the middle of a season when he had no experience and he had made it clear to them that he wanted to be a shortstop and not an outfielder multiple times.
They did it in a very slapdash way.
So if he still holds a grudge against them for it, I get it. People said in real time when that happened, I wonder if this is going to hurt the Pirates' ability to sign O'Neill Cruz long term. And we've heard Hiles and others say, yeah, there's almost no chance of that happening. The Pirates don't want to do it, and he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, I've heard that he never wanted to do it, really, that any time they had approached him about it.
It got swatted down like a shot from Harry Callis with Dikembe Mutombo policing the paint.
I'll tell you what's happening right now. If Craig's on the YouTube page on his phone, man, he is getting massacred in the comments.
Craig is or Callis? Yes. Craig?
Yes.
Why, for his head?
Just everything about him.
One
of them was pound for pound, Craig might have a bigger head than you do, Malzy, which he doesn't. He has like a tiny little, like size 6 ball cap. Craig is so damn skinny. I think his legs are the size of my fingers, says Danny. Craig, working hard, says the Sloss boss. It'd be better if he was sitting in one of those shadowy corners watching the guys do their show. Craig, why don't you get some more sponsorships for the show instead of sitting there watching? God, these people are vicious. Yes.
Yeah, he's waving now.
Oh, now he's giving the, yeah, he's telling all of our fans that they are number one. He loves them and what they're saying. Anyway.
Yeah, so still no Pirates trades, no trades, period.
How will you feel, just quickly, how will you feel if they trade Cruz?
Not
good about it? You said yesterday that you're going to not feel good about it, but like taking the obvious dread you would feel that they're not going to develop him, but somebody else will.
Yep. That's hard to take out of it, Chris.
What other feelings? Because there will be a failure feeling, like, wow, you couldn't do anything with this guy. But also, it feels like they're going to always be headed for a divorce there. And I'm not sure he'll ever materialize here. So, like, we can say, for example, we don't think they can develop him. If you really think that that's the case, it's probably better to try to get something for him than it is to just have him play out the string here and then just be a guy that's gone.
Right, but the big difference there, too, is with somebody like Keller or Bednar, there's more trust in their ability to replace somebody like that because they have arms waiting in the wings. There are no such bats other than Connor Griffin waiting in the wings, and he still might be 2 or 3 years away, knowing the Pirates.
Here is the problem. The thing they would be replacing, it's a loud bat when it hits.
Yep.
It's a league average bat if we're talking about what is he as an offensive player. No, and just OPS plus, 100 above it. Above 100's good, below 100's bad. He's like, what, a 104?
He's 103.
Yeah. I know that we get tantalized and everyone gets suckered in about, wow, he hits the ball 480 feet. He's a league average offensive player, which is a bummer.
I just randomly pulled up Chris Duffy. Let's see if there's a year where Chris Duffy had a higher OPS plus. Yes, his first year, but he only played 39 games, so I guess that.
How about Tyke Redman?
All right. That one of Donnie's favorites.
Oh, Donnie's a big Tyke guy.
Tyke Redman, what a blast from his past.
His first real year where he played more than 40 games, he had a 120 OPS plus. And he was a 1.5 win player in 56 games.
Still not a lot of games, though.
No, I know. Who's another funny one we could use? Adam Hizdu?
Didn't play enough games.
Mikoviak, I bet.
Also not a center fielder, really, Hizdu.
Oh, so we're only going center field?
That's what
I was
just thinking, position for position, yeah.
Mikoviak played in a hilarious era. He only had an OPS plus of over 100 one time, even though he would, you know, he's bopping around in a mid-700s, high-700s OPS. Just a different era.
Let's see what Michael A. Taylor's OPS plus is this year with the White Sox. It is
90.
90, yeah, not good. All right, good talk.
By the way, Pony, just for the record, the sounder is technically supposed to be played when a move is made, and you're just throwing rumors at the wall, so that's why I didn't
have it. Okay, so take it up with Craig. We're not supposed to give Globe Parking a pop only when an actual trade gets made.
No, I want to give them a pop. I like that sounder, but the reason it wasn't ready to go was because you were giving a rumor, not an official deal.
Gotcha. Thank you for the clarification, Dom. Not that anyone wanted it or needed it.